Some said they couldn't do it. Even more said they probably shouldn't. But here they are, bringing you another episode of the Happy Zen Podcast. Welcome your hosts, Adam and Matt.
Thank you for soaking my couch with beer, taking my sweater, and watching me participate in a sausage eating contest. You've had a day that I'm thankful for.
Yeah, it was like a high school kegger of some sort. It's been quite a while since I've drenched my clothing in beer. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Claim that you didn't shake up my drink, but...
But I did, because clearly when I went to open mine, I had the same problem.
Yeah. I'm going to do something that we haven't done in probably 15 episodes. I'm going to announce from the top, welcome back to another episode of the Happy Zen Podcast. Even though we have the intro, so, you know, we get lazy, we don't have to worry about that. But exactly. We should probably mention it from time to time.
Exactly. We're fresh off the heels of doing our first Skype podcast with each other.
Yes, which by now you've either heard and it was a train wreck or it turned out okay and excellent. But anyways, you're back home briefly.
Yep. Home from Niagara Falls, off to Ottawa.
And it is the month of Halloween for some, or at least Halloween's coming up soon. So we thought maybe this would be a good time to do a little easier episode maybe for us. In that
for one of us.
Well, just that, you know, we don't actually have to, I was going to say we don't have to come to the table with, like, any kind of prepared work, but really this might be more preparing than we normally do.
I'm sitting here with a tablet and a phone. No preparing at all.
Yeah. So we decided we would do our top 10, I'm going to call them Halloween movies, because mine aren't necessarily proper horror movies, just more movies that are more appropriate for this time of year. Some of them are comedy-ish. Some of them might be more aimed at younger crowd, but they fit the Halloween theme pretty well. So, we're going to do our top 10 movies of that. I think Adam's winging his or some of his list.
Listen, I know like a solid 6 or 7.
Yeah.
That I put on there that I will go out of my way to watch if I haven't already started doing so. Mm. But it's, you kind of have to refresh your memory a little bit on things that are more this time of year that come up. And also, let's be fair, these aren't quality films in most cases. So the shit that ends up in the back of your brain that you forget you watched, and then remarkably, you can actually recite the whole fucking thing. So... there's a little bit of like bringing shit back to your memory here.
Yeah, and when I made the list, that's why I really had to like emphasize that they're not necessarily horror movies per se, or you know, not terrifying in the least. Some of these, at least on mine.
Oh no, when I think about my list now, there might be one or two movies that were genuinely scary, like they actually left you scared.
Yeah,
the rest are just like. Who the fuck paid for this? Who paid? Did somebody actually go in the theater and buy a ticket? Because a lot of these are movies that I know I found, renting from like Blockbuster,
movie rentals,
Jumbo Video, and shit like that.
Jumbo
like
Video,
yeah.
I mean, you rent like 7 movies for 7 days or something like that, or whatever it was.
It take you that long to get through them all.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. We might. I'm leaning towards we probably won't have any overlap, but...
I guarantee you there's going to be at least one or two films will overlap.
Oh, you think that many? Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Well, it's possible. We'll see. Who should start here?
Way things are going right now, you can start the top of your list.
You're still working? Okay.
Well, no, because mine are not going to be sequential.
Oh. Well, this ought to be interesting, because I am actually doing mine. I attempted to place them in order, although... you know, the order may change from day to day, but all right. Well, I can start. This as of the moment I did my list was my number 10. It's a Canadian horror comedy homage from 5 guys out of Saskatchewan. I want to say maybe Manitoba, called Astron 6. And
you're gonna name movies people have never fucking seen before.
No, this played at the Toronto International Film Festival a few years ago. I watched it as part of the Midnight Madness program. It's called The Editor, and it has, I mean, there are people in it that you would see and you'd be like, oh, I've seen that guy before. It has Udo Kier, who was like in Sin City. He was in a lot of horror movies back in the day. But basically, it's like an homage to like the Italian horror movies, like Suspiria and stuff like that. But it's mostly a comedy. There's a lot of just ridiculous nudity for the sake of comedy. There's over the top violence and gore. That's just bananas. It's like the Evil Dead gore, but not intentionally funny. Like, or this is intentionally funny, whereas the Evil Dead maybe not so much. The guys from Astron 6, I like a lot of their movies, like Father's Day and Manborg and things like that. They just do like these over the top, like 80s homage type ripoffs. And the editor is my number 10. And yeah, I recommend it. I believe it may be on Amazon Prime in Canada. So if you haven't seen it, you can find it there. How about yourself?
Okay, so I'm going to look at my list here and do the best I can to try to organize them from 10 to 1 now that I'm thinking about it.
And this is tough. We're a beer and a half in, so if your list falls apart, that's okay.
No, I mean, legitimately, this wasn't... When you said to me about making this list, I actually didn't think it was that hard because I quickly threw 7 titles in my head right away without looking at anything. So I knew there was movies that I would throw on this list. And for me, the sequence is tough. I mean, I think I have a top 3, so everything else is just going to kind of...
Did you have more than 10? Because I have an honorable mentions list, so I ended up going over 10, and I had a hard time narrowing it down.
I think most films that are done in the... This is going to be awesome. So most films that are done in the specific horror genre, I think are... they remind me of the 90s one-hit wonder.
Mm-hmm.
That they come out, they're hot for a little while, mm-hmm. because they're all the rave, mm-hmm. and then once... they've been watched that season, the longevity of them is very fucking minimal.
Oh, absolutely. Horror movies don't stick.
Yeah.
You could probably argue the same with a lot of comedies too.
Okay. Yeah, probably. But I think there's a replay sometimes with the comedies because jokes can outlast, like, I don't know. And the thing is, there's in the genre of horror, like there's only so many, I think the pot's only so big that you can pull tricks out of. And there is cool times when things get reinvented,
mm-hmm.
right? So there is some cool shit. And that does make me think there probably is an honorable mention now that I just mentioned it, because I do have a number 11 that I can't believe I forgot.
Well, we can leave the honorable mentions till the end.
Oh, yeah, we will. So for number 10, for me, I'm going with actually, I don't know if it was Canadian or not. You can correct me on this, but Ginger Snaps.
Yes, Canadian. Absolutely.
Yeah, I really liked that movie. Mm-hmm. And see, mine are like more not specific Halloween. I guess they're just good. You know, they have the werewolf piece in that. Yeah. But you know what? It was for a werewolf concept movie. It was simplistic enough. Didn't give me the whole fucking here's the history of the werewolf and here's how it all goes. And a long time ago, but no, it's just like shit. It went weird. And all of a sudden but no one really actually called her a werewolf. Is that what's kind of cool about it?
Definitely a unique spin on it in the sense that it was sort of also like an allegory to growing up.
Yeah, there were some neat pieces in it. And listen, I mean, most often with horror movies, I'm not exactly going to say the acting's good. And this wasn't, I'm not going to say the acting was great here, but it was pretty strong. It wasn't poor. That was by any means. The characters carried well for something that probably wasn't crazy budget-wise.
I don't remember it coming into theaters, though, do you? I remember seeing it on TV.
I don't pay attention when horror movies come into theaters.
Or maybe they're rented
short,
it.
To me, they're short-lived. I'm waiting for the stuff that leads into the Christmas season or the stuff that just came off the summer blockbusters. This is my downtime of not going to a theater.
Yeah.
So, for me, I don't even pay attention
to that. I think this movie spawned like 2 sequels, which I've not
seen.
Now
that, hold on. One of them's about something in time, and it still uses the same characters. So I'm just
Yeah, it's like
oh,
a it's
no.
a weird like prequel, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like a 1800s kind of
pilgrims. Yeah, so anyways, I'm...
Yeah. But yes, the main one, excellent.
And listen, I can make fun of these movies a little bit in some degree, and I'm just as guilty because I'm kind of like pop culture on some of my choices are very pop culture style. So you'll see. Anyways, that was my 10. I would put that down as my 10.
My number 9, I remember when this movie got announced, and it was only playing in like Toronto. It was one of those movies where for some reason it wasn't getting a widespread release, which really irked me, and I couldn't figure out why. It has a guy that was the main character that was such a huge popular guy for both of us, and I thought, this is bananas. This movie should come out everywhere, and it didn't. It finally came out to DVD. I bought it immediately. although my copy may be a bootleg of some sort because I got it at the flea market. And that is Bubba Ho-Tep, starring Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, I've never seen that, I hate to say.
Bruce Campbell plays Elvis, story being basically he swapped lives with an Elvis impersonator. The impersonator carried on as Elvis, and the real Elvis got to go get away from all the glitz and glamour and live his life. And in this movie, he's in an old age home. He's nearing death. His best friend in this movie ends up being a black gentleman who believes he was, I want to say JFK. It's been a while since I've seen it. I think it's JFK. And they made him black to hide him. And he was never assassinated. And
this is, sounds good.
It's in a retirement home. And there's a monster that terrorizes them. That's basically the gist of it. So it's Elvis, not JFK. And they're fighting a monster. It's by the same director that did like Phantasm. And later on did John Dies at the End. But it was Bruce Campbell. I had to see it. And it's one of the Bruce Campbell movies where, look, there's some Bruce Campbell movies that are not great. And he's the only good thing about them. This movie is funny. It's good. It's actually kind of sad because you see, like, he reflects on his life as Elvis and how he made a lot of mistakes. His film career was a joke and his family kind of got ignored. So it's actually quite an interesting character for Bruce Campbell to play. Crazy amount of makeup too because he's old Elvis. So yeah, that's my number 9, Bubba Ho-Tep.
It's interesting because that actually did make IMDb's top 100 too.
Wow. Bubba Ho-Tep. Right on.
Yeah.
You got the list up?
Yeah. Remarkably, Batman Forever is more of a Halloween movie than wow. Bubba Ho-Tep.
That is a horror movie.
But anyways. Okay, so that was... I liked this one. So I remember with horror movies, because of our age, right? Mm-hmm. And then coming back to what our podcast is actually all about, you know, late 80s, early 90s was a... Horror movies were a big genre. Like, movies were a lot of one-hit wonders back then. And I mean, I know movies are one-hit wonders. Not all meant to be sequels. Not everything's about comic book movies, although they should be. But I just remember these movies would just stand out as just the one-offs. Like, you have to see it once just to say you saw it, but... It's never going to really significantly change your life. It's just one of those things to talk about later going, I can't believe I fucking watched that.
It might kind of tie in with like the boom of the video rental because really the late 80s, early 90s, at least from our point of view, I think that was when there was so much for, you know, garbage yeah. put in the...
But probably because they didn't have to go to the theater, they can go straight to video
yeah.
and then they can still generate the sales necessary to cover the cost, right? And generate a profit. So I think that probably was part and parcel. But anyways, getting long-winded. Number 9, the doctor is in Dr. Giggles.
Dr. Giggles. Oh, my God. I forgot all about this movie. I picked this movie up on VHS at like a yard sale. I'd never seen it. Wow.
The idea of a, wow. just hearing the giggle and the fear of a, the doctor, and it was like on Halloween night, and it was just...
And it was the guy from Darkman, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's what I remember him from, and yeah, that's interesting. And yeah. That totally fits like that video store rental movie. Like, yeah. who would see that in the theater? Like that, it seems so ridiculous. But yeah, at the same time, that would totally be a movie, a rental place movie, and not even like a Blockbuster. Like you'd probably see that
Jumbo Video. This was Jumbo Video.
Jumbo Video,
yeah, 100%.
Like Video King, maybe
or whatever they was. Yeah. I mean, we weren't even like local places we had, but you had. Listen, you had your Jumbo Video. In Canada, this was the video store. It might not have been called Jumbo Video, but it was bigger than the rest in one town near you usually.
Yeah.
And you would travel to it, and it eventually was beaten out by Blockbuster when it arrived.
Yeah.
But it would be the only video store that stood around and fought Blockbuster for a while, kind of like Zeller's fighting Walmart for a while before it inevitably was crushed.
And like the popcorn, they had always had the free popcorn when you went in there. It was like
soggy
or stale, one or the other.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, Dr. Giggles.
Dr. Giggles. And... Such a simple premise. He's a
look,
psychotic
no
doctor. Like, I mean,
as the list gets higher, there actually is like an attempt at stories.
Yeah.
I think the bottom of my list so far with Ginger Snaps and Dr. Giggles, the beauty of it is the story is pretty much the surface. The story is start to finish. There's no depth, no layering. There's nothing. It's right there.
Yeah. I mean, there was something to his story. I think he had a childhood problem, like his parents. Well, I don't know. But
you get the 40-second montage in there somewhere, but it's not.
The idea was, look, we're just following a deranged doctor around. He's going to do weird things.
It's not 40 minutes. Yeah. And there's always like a legend or a mystery to them, which is kind of like Scooby-Doo-ish.
Yes.
Which, actually, no Scooby-Doo's made my list, but I was tempted.
Like the live-action ones?
Yeah. Or just any of them. Some of the cartoon ones were pretty good, too.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. My next one actually kind of thematically, in a sense, carries on from my last pick. This is a movie that I had seen the third one in this series first. And I think a lot of people our age might have actually seen the third one first. And you got the first and the second movies on VHS and brought them over.
I can't believe this is this low.
I know. It kind of goes in fits and spurts. But so I'm talking Evil Dead. And I remember we watched these in the basement of my house. And Army of Darkness we had seen, or at least I had seen. And if you've seen all three, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness, you know Army of Darkness is way lighter and comedy, and it's more of a adventure movie, really. Evil Dead was like some scary shit. Like, I remember, like, it was not what I was expecting at all. I was like, well, oh, there's Ash. This is going to be great. No, this is horrifying. Like, he doesn't, like, Evil Dead 2 has some of the comedy in it. Like, it kind of transitions, but that first one, they were just going for horror 100%, and it worked because it scared the hell out of me because we weren't that old. I want to say,
What do you think? I remember watching that at your house and then having to walk back to my house at like midnight and thinking to myself, this is the first time I'm legit scared when I was with another human being.
Because I remember we watched that one and then we watched the second one maybe the next night.
Also didn't get any better.
No.
No.
It did have a little more comedy to it, and it definitely,
comedy
by the end
only
of it,
because we knew where it was going.
Yeah, and then by the end of it, kind of tied into Army of Darkness. At least we had that connection. But yeah, that first one. Yeah, so Evil Dead, the original. I will say the remake actually wasn't bad. It is kind of over the top, gory. So if you're going in and you kind of laugh at it, it's fine. But if you're not, if you're squeamish, that remake is, it's a little iffy for that kind of thing. So yeah, Evil Dead is my number 7.
Okay, well, I'm staying with the classics. Mm-hmm. This was a Gary Busey and Corey Haim.
Oh my God, how did this not go on my list? Legit, the first movie that scared me as a kid. Okay, go on. Sorry, this is your pick, so I'm really angry at myself for this.
I thought this actually would be something that would be on both of our lists because this was,
God damn,
and I'm referring
really
to
myself.
Silver Bullet.
Yep. Yep.
Was a really fucking terrifying werewolf movie
when
you were young.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's a Stephen King.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, it has the psychological, and this is something I was talking about to my kids, actually, because my kids, you know, my 12-year-old really wants to watch It. And I said, well, okay, I don't mind. And she wants to watch the new one, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, it's probably, yeah, hey, you got to watch a horror movie somewhere, right? But the thing is, I'm like, I'm kind of hesitant that a Stephen King horror movie is the first one because his are always so fucking psychological.
Yeah.
It isn't always about the things you see. It's usually the build up of the shit you don't see that gets you, right? And it's all the mystery about it and the fear that can be generated by the actors and characters. And I'm like, so I always make me a little hesitant, but that takes me back. I'm like, Silver Bullet. I mean, fuck that movie. Like, it screwed you up as a kid because there wasn't a whole lot of like gore.
No,
it was It was shocking when shit happened. You didn't always get the clean shots. Like, it was always mysterious.
And
what was going
as a
on.
Kid, the main character was a kid.
Yes,
which was terrifying.
And they did it with a kid with like without the humor piece. There was no humor. There was no softness. There was no. It was fucking terrifying.
And you're like, also he's in a wheelchair. You're like, that's even harder.
He can't help him.
And then the twist being like, do we bother spoilers at this point? Probably not.
1985. You didn't see it. Are you fucking serious?
But the twist that the werewolf was, you know, at that time in that town, being like the preacher or pastor, whatever he was, yeah. You know, the leading the
it was
church.
The religious guy.
That's the guy you would go to.
The vanquish the demon.
If a demon were something. And that transformation too, like turning into like the werewolf thing. I know a lot of people like laugh at it now because it kind of looks more
but
like a bear.
Then.
But I think that's even scarier because it's like, it's not a proper wolf. It looks like a bear man kind of thing.
Well, that was the idea, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I liked about it. Another piece I really liked about it was that when they made it a werewolf, they didn't try to turn it into a wolf. It was like, this is what a fucked up human being werewolf will look like in our rendition. And I'm like, yep, you know what? It's pretty good. So anyways, I was trying to pick a Stephen King to hit the list, and this one shot it right away. I mean, there is tons of honorable mentions that could go into that Stephen King style, right? Mm-hmm. 100%. Some that could definitely make it, and some that I don't think would make the list. I mean, you can get into the pet cemetery and all that jazz and shit, but
Maximum Overdrive.
But this was, and that was there too, but this is for my one Stephen King, this was it.
Yeah, man, I'm really,
I know you're the Halloween guy, and
I'm ashamed because that legit, I remember I was like, I want to say maybe I was 6 years old.
Well, it's 1985, man. So and you wouldn't have been that old.
No, this was on when it was on TV.
That's what I mean.
My mom went next door, left me at home. You know, we only got like four or five channels. God, I'm so old. But, you know, I'm flipping through and this was on. And I watched it by myself, home alone. And it scarred me. That and like 1989 Batman, which is a different story. But the Joker scared the bejesus out of me as a kid. But yeah, that's a good pick. Awesome. Right on. On a lighter note, my number six is a movie by co-writer of the new Predator movie. It is an 80s movie. It is kind of in the Goonies vein. Some say it's Goonies with monsters. It is The Monster Squad. This is a movie that I remember. It was a rental when I was a kid. We rented it. It was from a time, again, much like Goonies, where kids were doing much more adult things than they should be, probably, or certainly that they were doing in movies later on. You know, kids were smoking, they were swearing, they were, you know, doing all this stuff. And then it had monsters. And then, like, they were all like the universal horror monsters, like the classics. And they were like trying to take over the world, and there was pretty cool special effects. I don't know, man. It was like it was an awesome mix of like I said, like a Goonies kind of movie, and then like horror. It's not scary, but it has all the monsters in it, so I think it fits in this vein. And why are you shaking your head?
Because I have that movie much fucking higher. Okay. And I have a rationale behind that.
All right. Well.
So yes,
spoilers.
The movie is. Anyways, we'll
get there. You can talk about it when it comes up on your list more. I won't take that away from you.
Well, we will be waiting.
Okay.
Anyways. But yes, all the things you said, 1,000% agreed. 1,000%. And I'll give a little bit more of my opinion of that later.
Wolfman's got nards. That's what we got to go with.
Sure. All they had to do was put the box of the DVD.
Every kid would have rented that exactly. From that line.
So that was number seven, right?
That was my six.
Oh, I had to shuffle some stuff.
Nope, around. That was my seven.
That was seven.
I can't count.
Okay, so seven, what I did here was I actually had two movies, and I decided to take one, stick it in honorable mentions, just to make sure, because I thought of something else when we were sitting here talking about things that were terrifying me as a child. See, again, you're going down that memory box of like, well, these are the things I oppressed in my brain because they terrified the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah. You just totally like push it away.
In the 80s, our parents let us watch shit that we probably never, ever, ever, ever should have watched under the age of 20. Let alone 12.
It's on TV or you can rent it. Yeah, how bad could it be?
They didn't really know how to censor shit back then, did they? So anyways, number seven for me is actually Ghostbusters.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's a Halloween. Like, if you look at the television stations even now, like your cable channels today who still have cable. Mm-hmm. If not, you'll see Netflix, your streaming services. They all bump into the top of the pile. Ghostbusters comes out because it is like, you know, the quintessential. Like, everyone can watch it around Halloween. It isn't all Halloween driven, but of course it's totally ghost driven, right? Which is kind of cool. It was fun. It was funny. I mean, let's be fair. The cast is like all star cast. Let's be fair, right? Great writing, stands the test of time. And I'm talking about the original, folks. Okay. The reboot, I'm not going to slag the reboot because it was a nice attempt to modernize a new generation to get them to watch it. And I hope the reboot did the most important thing, which was just get everybody to go watch the old one.
The other thing about Ghostbusters too, you know, we think about it kind of as a kid's movie, but really, it's, again...
Oh, God, no. I just watched it like a week ago and realized it really is not a kid's movie.
There's quite a bit of adult humor in that movie.
There is nothing Bill Murray says that should be heard by a child.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Now, the movie didn't scare you as a kid, though, did it?
No. Well, a little bit.
Yeah?
When you're young enough, the beginning gets you.
Yeah, the library.
The library and when you first get Slimer.
Yeah, okay.
But then they cartoon.
I was going to say, it's funny how like
they
later
turned into a cartoon,
in the cartoon, like he was
thing.
Like, he
because
was because
I also
friendly.
Think he was actually too scary at that time.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things. But anyways, and I mean, I also believe between the first and the second, people could argue, I prefer the original, I argue the second. I think this is one of those times where the sequel is almost like they're almost the same. Like, you can watch either or and really enjoy them. And I think they just do so good to hold their own. They could be two standalones. They don't even have to be done as sequential.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard. Like, it's almost impossible to exceed an original movie if the original one is really good. Sometimes, you know, that happens if the first movie's not great, but it's close. It's certainly not bad at all. Like it's the second one. I mean, they had to do something different while still keeping kind of the same theme and the same characters. So I think it's great. I was just thinking though, we were talking about like the adult themes in that first one, like the whole gatekeeper and the key master. It was like, oh, that's just completely innuendo, but yeah.
Sexual innuendo. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. No one gets that until you're in your 20s and you start going, I get it.
Yeah. 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 Right on.
Yeah, Rick Moranis.
Oh, Rick Moranis is so good. Everyone was good. That was a good cast from top to bottom. It was awesome. Okay. What are we at? Now we at 6? Because yeah. I can't count. Okay.
6 now.
This movie, again, a little lesser known. Maybe I saw it again at the Toronto Film Festival. God, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. It took a couple years for it to come out. The director went on to do the latest Blair Witch movie, which was, I think, just called Blair Witch. He's also going to be directing, I think he's doing the Godzilla versus King Kong movie. I think he ended up getting that job. But he started out doing more indie movies, kind of like horror or like thrillers. This one is a home invasion movie that is kind of, it starts out pretty horrific, but kind of gets ridiculous and then gets really awesome at the end. And it's called You're Next. And it's about a rich family that's getting together for, I think it's Thanksgiving. And then there's like these guys in like these animal masks that like break into the house and start like trying to kill them all off. And I don't want to spoil it because there's quite a few twists at the end. But it, by the end of the movie, you get this female character who turns out as a kid, because she's Australian, grew up on a survivalist compound. And they had no idea that that was the case. And she turns out to be like this super awesome, like kick-ass heroine of the movie. But yeah, I can't talk too much about it without spoiling, because there's quite a few twists in it. It is a little bit violent, certainly not for kids, but it's good. And then if we're on that boat with them, I do recommend seeing The Guest, which was his follow-up movie, which is not so much a horror movie. It's more of a thriller, but it's kind of in the same vein. There's a bit of comedy to it, and it's smart. But yeah, so You're Next. No big stars in that one. But it's very clever. I will leave it at that. Do you have a number 1, 2, 3, 6?
I do, and I, you know, I'm running into this thing now where like my childhood. Oh my god! Sorry, just I pulled up a
Adam prepared list ahead of time.
I did have prepared, but now I'm finding more. This would have been really hard to narrow down, to be honest with you. And I was on the road this week, and I certainly couldn't have given this the attention it deserved.
Fair enough.
While yes, I was on the road. Yes. But I mean, honestly, like,
you're employed.
An honorable mentions movie that I'm just going to have to say honorable mentions, because I don't even know how to wedge it in the list anymore right now, is Ghoulies.
Yeah.
Right. So, but anyways.
There were so many movies in the 80s that were designed, I think, just for the box art, and then after that, okay, they're just like, how do we come up with a story?
So, what was the one? I have a number 6, don't worry.
Okay.
Oh, wait, 1, 2... Do you?
We are on 6, right, Ted?
Oh, I don't have a number 6.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yes, I do. There it is. I just added it now. Hmm. So, before I get into my number 6, mm-hmm, do you remember the movie that was the pink goo or pink ooze, and it wasn't The Blob? But it was just this ooze that would like run out. It was like a yogurt. It started as yogurt and it turned into this fucking ooze.
There was one called The Stuff. I don't know if that's the one or not. I do recall what you're talking about.
But it was ridiculous. And it was right. It's that same film quality, style, budget, probably the same studio as half these fucking movies. But anyways, anyone that, you know, if you're listening to this episode, you know the stupid one I'm talking about. And because it's all that same period of time. They're all made within the same 3-month period or 3-week period. Anyways, number 6 for me was one that legitimately creeped the shit out of me for a while. Still has me having a completely screwed up relationship with dolls. That was Child's Play.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Especially the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Because hearing a angry, solid 3-pack-a-day smoking voice come out of a doll running at you with a fucking knife.
Yeah.
you know, and the ideas of how you would defend yourself against a doll like that, like kicking it and all that kind of stuff and whatever, and realizing the thing still keeps coming because they
and no one's going to believe you because
they do attack that thing how you would as a person, yeah, and the thing gets through it. So yeah, it was good. And it was great because it was like, you know, here's a criminal. He ends up doing some weird ass fucking voodoo to end up in a fucking doll because he was dying. No need to explain how any of that makes any sense. No. And then all of a sudden he's just in a fucking doll, and you know, broke ass single mom ends up giving her kid some creepy ass fucking doll from a homeless guy. And we got a movie, folks. We got a great movie. We got a memorable, terrifying fucking experience that I swear to God, the child in that film probably, like the kid that was in Exorcist, needed fucking therapy. Because there's no way acting with that. Okay, here's going to set the tone for this scene. See that doll? It's going to run at you and fucking stab you with a knife. Don't worry, it's only a movie.
The crazy thing is they took a toy that existed.
Yeah, that was cool too.
You're like, isn't that just My Little Buddy? Like, that's a toy that I can buy. Like, that's horrific.
How even then, how the hell did they pull that off with the rights?
I mean, maybe they made it enough that it's not quite 100%, but it was awfully close. And I'm sure there's a lot of kids that had it that's like maybe saw on TV like clips of the movie or something, probably like looking now, over at their doll.
The sequels, they really fucked that whole thing up. Well, like most horror movies, they just take Leprechaun, for example. Yeah. But they just go.
Well, they went way more comedy. I think the first one, the comedy itself was just that it was a doll.
A creepy laugh. They tried to make that funny, and it wasn't funny.
He had a few lines, but it wasn't like later on.
But those lines weren't funny until you got older.
Yeah.
If you were under the age of 16, those lines were not funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, that was a movie where I'd seen later, like the later sequels first, and then I went back. And it really stood out how good the first one was compared to later on. Like, it was...
They went all in on horror?
It was such a legit... Yeah. Yeah, that's a good pick.
But I wonder if, like, when they realize when they go all in on horror, that when they scare the fuck out of people too much, people aren't going to watch it.
Yeah, well, I think once they realized they wanted to keep making sequels, they're probably like, oh, we got to cut it down a little bit or be more jokey. Man, I can't believe you mentioned Leprechaun. That's exactly the same as Leprechaun.
Well, don't worry, Leprechaun's coming back.
Yeah, okay.
In this conversation, anyways.
Yeah. Where are we? Number five?
You are number five, sir.
You mentioned this movie earlier as one that one of your kids wants to see. This movie is so high up on the list, probably because I've seen it recently, but I've watched it twice now, and it is really, really good. Or at least I thought it was really good. I know some people, not so much. That is the latest Stephen King's It. I think what I liked so much about the movie was it had that 80s vibe where the kids acted like real kids. It was like a Goonies or like Stranger Things in the sense that the kids, you know, hung out. They rode bikes together. It was all about the kids, and the parents that were in the movie were useless. The parents in this movie are actually arguably more scarier than Pennywise is, I would argue. They're just, every one of them has like this broken family. So the kids have to come together and hang out and do all this kid stuff. Like it's a lot more relatable than some of these other kid movies. But I thought the movie was well done. It has a local flair for us because a lot of it was filmed within half an hour of us, be it in Port Hope or Oshawa, had the house itself. The kid actors were awesome. The clown looks scary. The special effects were good, and we're going to get a sequel with them, the adult portion of the story, coming out probably next year, I think. They were filming that over the summer. It, Stephen King's It from 20... When did that come out? Last year? 2017, I guess? 2018? Whatever the new one is. Not the Tim Curry one. Not that that one's not scary. It's just, at the moment, it's not on my list. So, It.
Fair enough. It actually didn't make my list.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen the new one.
Yeah.
No, it's like to be watched, and it might probably change on the list, but I went a different direction. I tried not to. I'm a big fan of vampire movies. Okay. I always have been.
Yep.
Anything to do Dracula movies, that kind of stuff. I don't care how.
Please don't say Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Horrible they are, I like them. Mm-hmm. And I have no real affinity to them. I just think it's one of those stories that has lasted so long for a reason, because it just. No matter how many holes you try to poke in it, it's just this. Like, you can't look for
validation. It is what it is. Like, there's a mystery of a vampire and the stigma around it, all the different stories. And there are so many vampire movies out there. I just picked one. Okay. Otherwise, my list would have been all vampire movies, right?
Blade Trinity.
That could have been there. I mean, there's some honorable mentions on vampire movies. I'm just going to throw some out there. The one with the one they did the story of Vlad the Impaler.
The one that was like I think it was a made for TV cable movie, but I don't know what you're talking about.
No, not that one. The one that was in the theaters.
Dracula Untold.
Yes. Okay. Gotcha. Loved it. Great story.
Okay.
I even liked, God, there were so many of these. Dracula 2000. yeah, I know. They're all like, the stupid one with Schwarzenegger. Wow.
Schwarzenegger, what?
Oh my God, you had to fight the devil. You had to fight like a demon. It was Dracula at the end of it all. When it was
it?
Done.
Yes. I thought it was the devil. Is it End of yeah. Days you're
End
talking
End of Days, yeah, the devil. No, okay. Oh, you're right. Oh, sorry, that was End of Days. Yeah, that's not going to make the list. Sorry. My brain's just spinning too fast here on two Dracula movies. Anyways, and Blade fell into honorable mentions because it's more of a comic book movie, I think, than I want to call it a horror movie.
Yep.
But anyways, I went with the heartthrob one. No, not Interview with the Vampire. Lost Boys.
I was really scared for a second that you were going to say like Twilight, and I was going to be like, what's happening?
No, Lost Boys.
Lost
Come
Boys
on.
Is a classic. Come
it
on.
Is, absolutely. And it just, again, back to the 80s. I'm sorry. I find it hard to come out of the 80s for good horror movies. And I mean, the new version of It, I hear lots of great things about. And I guess there are some new, like The Conjuring and all that. And the crazy ones with the fucking nuns and shit. But to me, they're all the same thing where it's super slow, super crazy special effects. And it's like the shock value where it's like they just want something snapping up as creepy, crazy as possible behind somebody as fast as possible. And they can do it with the technology now and so much better in film. The stories are fucking...
Look, I think...
Stories are more terrifying to me than special effects. And that's... I kind of like that. And Lost Boys... Although not really terrifying, it was just a good story for vampires. That was a good one.
No,
good vampire.
It doesn't
story.
Have to be scary. Like I said, it's thematically fits the Halloween movies. It doesn't have to be like a terrifying movie.
For sure.
Hey, 6 of my 10 movies take place in the '70s, or sorry, came out in the '70s or eighties. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's definitely a hot spot for that.
I know what most of your top probably is going to look like. So,
Do you have any more to say about the Lost Boys?
No, there's
nothing. Corey Feldman, classic.
Fuck else is there to see with the Lost
Kiefer Boys? Sutherland, classic. The haircuts. I don't know. What else do you say about that?
This group of listeners do not need any description of. Oh my God, I forgot about that movie.
Just getting down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
All right. I am.
Four. No. Yeah, you are. Yeah, we are. Sorry.
I'm on four. You. Yeah.
You're on four. You're on four.
Okay.
Hold on. Just a quick second.
Yes. Yes.
Gremlins. Horror movie or Christmas movie?
Can be both.
I put it Christmas.
It's definitely a Christmas movie, much like Die Hard's a Christmas movie, and I don't know why there's arguments about this. I mean, yes, these are movies that take place at Christmas. Oh my God. I'm blaming this on the stroke. What the hell's the Gremlin's name?
Good excuse.
The Mogwai. What's his name?
Gizmo.
Gizmo is a Christmas present. It's a Christmas movie.
It's at Christmas time.
Exactly. So, yes, of course.
And there's at least one Christmas tree.
At least. Several. Yeah,
that's
and
what
it
I mean.
Snows.
That's,
and
but that's
the,
my, that's
well,
my
this
criteria.
Is an argument.
That's my criteria. It's done. End of. Move on. Just curious.
Save it for the Christmas list.
I that's where I have it. So, just want to make
all
sure
right,
we're on
stay tuned for our Christmas list. We may do it right after this. Have it in the bank.
Gremlins.
Gremlins and Die Hard.
Die Hard 2. Gremlins 2.
Jesus Christ. That's four of them right there. Okay. My number four didn't start the slasher horror films, but it certainly perfected a lot of the tropes. It has been sequelized more times than I can count. It has been rebooted a couple times now, and we are getting a sequel to the first movie this month, later this month. There's like three different timelines in these movies. They are hard to follow. So I basically stick with the first two usually. And that is John Carpenter's Halloween, the original from 1978, I think it is, 77, something like that. Halloween, again, didn't start the slasher movie. You could argue Black Christmas, another Canadian film, did that. But it certainly perfected it. It is, going back to it, is it's definitely a slower movie than later horror movies. It doesn't really have a lot of gore or blood. A lot of it is actually implied, which I kind of forgot, but when you go back and you see it. But it, I think one of the major things that that movie has is like a hype man, and that is Dr. Loomis. I think every slasher movie should have a guy that just goes around telling people how terrifying the villain is, because that is so amazing to me. The Dr. Loomis character just going around telling people he's pure evil. I spent 7 years trying to fix him and then 8 years trying to make sure he stayed behind bars is such an amazing like thought process, that he's just that this kid is just pure evil and that they don't want to fix him, that he's just, and he's the only guy that takes it this seriously until, of course, Michael Myers gets out and does his killing spree. Now with the first one, you know, and later with this sequel coming out this later this month, he has no attachment to Lori. He's not family to her. He's just this random guy that got out, grabbed the coveralls, grabbed the mask on Halloween night, and started killing people. He happens to see Lori first. I think she's the first person he sees, because she goes up to the house to leave something at the mailbox, and he's hiding in the house. So he becomes obsessed with her and follows her around. It's a very simple premise. The music is legendary. John Carpenter's music, especially in the 70s and 80s, is very memorable. All the synth stuff that he did himself. It's low budget, but it's still scary. I don't know. It's a classic. I try to watch it as much as I can. I just got it on Blu-ray this month, actually. And I'm looking forward to the new one that's coming out. We'll see how it plays. But yeah, number 4, the original Halloween for me.
Hmm. Well, I'm getting into movies now that I think we've already touched on.
Yeah, I think by now we should be hitting some of the crossovers, because you pointed out a couple.
So we are at number
4?
Yeah, I got to screw up on my list. I see what the problem here is.
If you have a number 0, we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
No. 1. So I got a combo, my number 4.
Oh, seems like it.
Yeah, no, I screwed up on the list.
Okay,
no, but it makes sense.
Okay.
So for me, it's like, for me, it's the whole Evil Dead series.
Okay.
Evil Dead 1, 2, and Army Darkness.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I did have them ranked separately. I had Evil Dead and then Army Darkness right above it, just because Army Darkness was the hook and it was fun. And
yeah.
It was, you know, it opened me up to Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi and so much more. So there's a bit of a, like, I don't know, just a tie to it personally.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, anyways, I just, the whole trilogy there, I'll rank them through as a trilogy, and that just frees me up a spot. It's kind of selfish, but nothing wrong with that. And I really don't need to go into the fact that the Necronomica became a household name. Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoyable to watch. So fun. Ridiculously over the top, but really, really fun.
Yeah.
And saving Lucy Lawless's career. No. Anyways, some could argue. But anyways, yeah, I don't have much to go into that. They're just fucking awesome. And if you want to get really, you do want to get legitimately kind of freaked out a little bit, watch Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2. If you want to have some fun and be like, oh my God, I can't take this fucking serious, watch Army Darkness. You have the options. And guess what? It's actually all the same storyline. Continued story. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think as kids too, like it's got that hook, like, you know, he goes through this traumatic experience and then he gets like a chainsaw hand, which is like so like comic booky, like, and then to go back in time and be like the guy from the future, but he's got a gun and he's got a chainsaw.
Hey, if you want to help a kid get through a fucked up scenario of being scared by a movie, you almost be better off letting them go through this series, because then they can actually witness the character come out the other end of it.
Yeah.
With a comedic, far-fetched, you know, so they take from reality of a scary fucking cabin in the woods,
mm-hmm.
where a kid can almost rationalize this shit happening, to, hold on, he's in a medieval time with a chainsaw on his hand. Like, it takes the ability to rationalize anything is long gone.
Well, and even, you know, like, he starts out just terrified, as you would.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like you said, by the third movie, he's the hero.
Yeah.
In
and a
medieval
super
times
fucking overconfident hero.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
like so crazy. And the one-liners, you know, especially from like Evil Dead 2 on,
just
like zing everyone, like so much so that
like halfway through Evil Dead 2 is like all of a sudden that one-liner started.
Yeah, and it's funny that like it was so like those one-liners people still use. And I remember
they're
like,
more famous than the movies.
I remember when like Duke Nukem, this is again how old we are, although fitting for our audience, when Duke Nukem 3D came out, Duke Nukem says lines that Ash said, like it's that same like machismo, but like for Ash it was always like a cover because he was always like scared, but he would pretend he was like a badass and stuff until it was, you know, he had to save his own ass and he would save his own ass. But like even the whole bit like where he screws up the words like to banish the book, like there's just so much. It's definitely, yes, I agree.
Yep.
Recommend the Evil Dead series from top to bottom.
I just had it higher on the list. That was all.
Yep. Okay. Number three. This was a little tricky because it's a series of movies. More specifically, the first four. After that, they just really go off the rails, and I don't care for them as much or really all that much at all. But the first four movies in this series, I really enjoy. I went, just to pick one, I picked the fourth one, the, quote, final chapter, even though six more movies would come out after this. And that is Friday the 13th, the final chapter. The reason I didn't pick the first one, probably because Jason's not really in it, although it does have that twist that it's his mother doing all the killing, so that was kind of cool. I really like the Friday the 13th movies, mostly the first four. After that, like I said, they kind of go downhill. But the fourth one with Corey Feldman and what was essentially supposed to be the conclusion of the series, he, again, super stupid spoilers at this point, who cares? He makes himself to look like Jason when Jason was a kid to distract him, and then they kill him. And then the twist ending at the end where it implies that he's going to be the next Jason. He's like kind of crazy. And then it, again, by part five, things just go stupid and off the rails. But the first four movies, I could argue you could watch. And in fact, really, if you watch the remake for Friday the 13th, it is essentially the first three to four movies jammed into one movie. Which is probably smart because there was a lot of garbage in those first four he cut out. But it's hard to argue that he's not. He's definitely a very iconic character. You know, by four, he's got the mask, he's got the different, you know, axe, machete, all that stuff. After four, two, he starts to get more. I think like five, he's like a zombie basically at that point. And that's when things get really like supernaturally.
The first, okay, because I kind of thought he was a zombie the whole time, because I've never watched these movies.
No, like the first, so he's in 2, 3, and 4 when I count the first four. It gets screwed with the timeline because he should be dead, but he just shows up in the second one and goes on from there. But like the fifth one, he gets struck by lightning and becomes like a zombie, and that's when things get really off the rails. And, you know, he's running later on, he runs earlier on, and then he just does like the zombie walk that like even Michael Myers did and that kind of thing. So even the earlier ones, it was a little bit more like he was just a big guy. He wasn't like this crazy supernatural thing. Anyways, I'm over explaining Friday the 13th. They're not super deep movies. They're fun movies. Like I said, I wouldn't go past four. There's no need. They have creative kills. The first movie has Kevin Bacon in it. This fourth one has Crispin Glover in it. There's somebody else in that one too. I forget. So it's neat seeing people get their start as well. But yeah, after the fourth one, they keep recycling ideas more or less, and it's kind of goes downhill. But yeah, I would say out of the Friday the 13th movies, I'm going with four as my pick, and that's all I have to say about that.
That was number three.
Yes.
And it's funny, we segue this. So career launching movies. Mm-hmm. All right. So, one, this young lady's career, often referred to as being launched when she was a young New Yorker and a group of friends, but I feel her career truly, truly was launched when she discovered a pot of gold and was cursed by a leprechaun.
Now, is this on your list because you just love Warwick Davis, or are we?
Yeah, it might be. Legitimately, I thought Leprechaun was good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I would watch it now. I would laugh at watching it now. But even the scenes when they're outside of the farmhouse and he's like chasing them outside of the, like, it's like they didn't try to special effect it. It's just a fucking little leprechaun running around yep. outside of the house. Like, it was cool.
Yeah.
And do I think I did like the second leprechaun. It wasn't too far fetched. His magic was getting a little strong for the second one.
Yeah.
After that, look, I'm not even going to get in the conversation. I'm just glad Warwick Davis got paid.
I will
those
give
things.
You the first one
was good.
Again, kind of like the Chucky
good
thing,
story.
Like you're saying.
It took a story that was like, okay, Leprechaun's kind of fun, pot of gold, fucking cereal, whatever. What if he was a little fucking crazy troll that kills people?
Yeah. They really want their gold, and they would do anything to get it.
Yeah, they did the dark side of it, and I kind of liked it. It was fun. It was good. It was well done. I really enjoyed the first one.
Definitely focused more on the horror in that first one and less of the comedy. But again, the comedy was the situation. There was this little guy killing these people, chasing them around.
It's fucking leprechaun.
Much like you said with the Child's Play, whereas the first one was like more horror-based.
It's funnier when you watch it now in your 30s.
Well, yeah.
You watch that laugh.
But, you know, again, at the time.
Was that not, if I'm correct, is that not Jennifer Aniston's first film?
It's got to be close.
It's really
not,
right around there. I mean, the first film she was like one of the leads in. Maybe she had other screen time, but that she was definitely like.
I remember.
She was the heroine.
I think it's the first one. And the guy wishes for the pot of gold. And the leprechaun gives it to him, but he puts it in his stomach.
Yeah, there's a fucking on the farm floor,
and
the farmhouse
floor.
And he explodes
from
and he cuts him open.
Yeah.
With his finger.
Yeah, that was some crazy stuff. Warwick Davis for the win. Guys, legend.
That was number three.
My number two, another franchise. This is the first one in the franchise. Not every one of them really in the horror vein. The second one definitely more of an action movie, but the first one... was scary. 1979, maybe. That is Ridley Scott's Alien.
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to put this on your list.
This movie, I still have a hard time watching. It's the claustrophobia, the alien itself, the sound in this movie is terrifying. Like the alien in like the vents and stuff like that. Obviously, the chest bursting scene. There's so much about it. And for a movie that's older than I am to still look as good as it did and just, I don't know, like that first movie and the second movie, I could argue the second movie is a better movie, but for this list, I think this movie is more appropriate. The second movie is certainly much more of an action movie. Of course, makes sense because I think James Cameron did that one and he was on his role with Terminator and all that, but for horror and scary, definitely. And, like, what a crazy creature. Like, the alien is iconic now.
Mm. Alien and Predator, man. There are two. We had this conversation. You and I had this conversation, I think, on the last podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, what I can't even. And it's a creature that really didn't change appearance too much. Like, they kept.
They've made it bigger, smaller, but that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, not until, like, maybe the more recent, like Prometheus.
Like, last
and stuff
5 years,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not, like, those first few movies. And yeah, they go downhill certainly after the second movie, but that first movie, I don't know. It's hard for me to watch. It's one of those ones that just like it's eerie, and I don't like it. And like the fact that you can't. You're stranded. You're on this ship. Where are you going to go? You're in space. You're screwed. Nobody knows where you are. You can't get away from it.
Wasn't the tagline "Space, nobody can hear you scream"?
Yeah, that was again an iconic line that's been spoofed and used in all sorts of other things. So. Yes, short, simple. I'm sure most people have seen it, but Alien, my number two.
I'm really struggling to think what your number one is. But anyways, okay, so my number two, this one fucked me up large for a long period of time. Nightmare on Elm Street 3, specifically Dream Warriors.
Yep.
And the only reason I named that one, because that was the one I first watched, which was... Straight out, and if my parents do hear this, I'm sorry, straight out fucking bad parenting. At the age of 8, no way a child should see a fucking movie where the whole evil character, you're safe from him as long as you don't go to sleep.
Yep.
What a fucking horrible idea to let a child watch that. Because
like,
you're
you
not
want
sleeping.
Your kids to go to sleep yet.
You're not sleeping. You're 100% not sleeping. There's no fucking way.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember
I mean, many of the details of all of them. And in fact, to this day, I still think I've only watched two of them because it legitimately like was terrifying for me. I think I was maybe 8 when I watched Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Definitely much too young. Dream Warriors, so that was the one the kids tried to fight back.
Yeah.
Guess what? They all lose. Horribly. So yeah, this is the one terrifying horror character to me because he's only powerful in your dreams, your imagination, and when you're asleep. So that's pretty fucking horrible. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to come fuck up real life because that was
it. You were coming to him.
Yeah, that was it. You couldn't get away from him. So, I mean, they had built up the world of possibility for him. So sequels made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not that any of it made sense to begin with, but you could drag this shit out. It wasn't hard. And, I mean, they tried to go up and down with stuff. And I do agree. I was reading something because all the articles are coming out right now, like for Halloween and stuff like that. That the guy who played him, and it strikes me, I can't remember his name right now.
Robert Englund.
Yes. Does say that you really should have a prequel movie. Because the one thing you really never got was, there was a bit of it. They tried
to have a little bit of flashback. But
yeah.
No.
And really the newer ones tried to play with that.
Mm.
But an actual prequel probably would work really well, to be honest with you. Especially with the attention to detail, not a draw story. You could probably do quite well with it. But anyways, it's needless to say, it was anyone that watched A Nightmare on Elm Street when they were under the age of 16, I don't care how fucking tough they think they were, they had second thoughts about fucking going to sleep.
Yeah, and they did do a reboot. Wasn't very good. I watched it. I actually had Nightmare on Elm Street on my honorable mentions, the first one. Yeah. But it didn't quite make my.
I just picked that list one specifically. I mean, honestly, anyone you can insert.
Well, yeah, if that's
insert the one that screwed you up first,
exactly.
Okay, because I'm sure all of us got.
Which is why I'm still kicking myself that I didn't put Silver Bullet on. Because man, that movie messed me up as a kid. Okay, so
you also grew up in a town that resembled the town Silver Bullet was done in.
Yeah, that's true.
That didn't help. That does not help.
If we had like a covered bridge. Yeah. I'd be scared to.
Yeah, that would have done it.
Yeah. So my number one. Maybe looking at it now, like from 2018 back, it's not so scary. Really not that scary at all. But at the time, it was legendary, scared the bejesus out of people. This was a movie that really kickstarted one of the greatest directors that we've ever had's career, which is crazy that this was the kind of movie that he made. Although, really, if you look at something like Jurassic Park, it's very much the same kind of movie. So we're talking Jaws. Jaws is a movie that I like. It fits this topic.
It is a horror movie.
It is a horror movie, yep. But it's such a good movie. And if we had done this list 5 years ago, it might not even been on my list. But I bought it on Blu-ray maybe four years ago. And I had forgotten how good of like this movie is really like it's really good. Like it's a good movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it won an Oscar, didn't it?
There's like the monologues in it and just the tension, the score. Everything about this movie is really good. And it's not necessarily the scariest movie, but you know, and they talk about it now like in retrospect that because the shark didn't work and they could barely show him half the time, that ended up being scarier because it was more in your head what you were imagining where the shark was and what it actually would look like, you know, that kind of thing. It's kind of a tragic story in the sense too, because you've got, you know, these characters, the boat captain, which I'm totally missing his name right now because my brain's not working. But this is a guy who his entire life hunted sharks, and you find out the reason he did it was because he was on the boat coming back from delivering the bomb for Hiroshima, and the boat got torpedoed, and they're in the water, all these sailors with them, and they're surrounded by sharks for days, and they kill most of his friends. So he spends the rest of his life hunting sharks. You don't know that from the beginning of the movie. The guy's this drunk fisherman, you think. You know, he's got no backstory, but they all have this, like, depth to them. And the shark...
What, Quint?
Quint, thank you.
I'd look it up.
The shark actually still looks pretty good.
Yeah, they did
very honestly, good. I've seen shittier-looking sharks in later movies than in that first movie. Now, I'm ignoring...
Not Deep Blue Sea. Hold on.
No, that was the greatest shark of all time. I am ignoring every sequel to Jaws.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
The second one, you can make an argument, at least was kind of in line, but it's the first one.
There can't be that many big fucking sharks. At least in the second one, it kind of made sense that maybe there was a mother and offspring. I get that. After that, come on.
Yeah. Wasn't one of the ones like the shark followed the wife from like one location to another? Like, it's just, it gets crazy. But, I mean, that movie had such an impact on people at the time when it came out, like legit kept people from swimming in the oceans. They were that terrified. And it's a little bit bloody, but it's more the tension of where is the shark and when's it going to pop up? And then you realize what it can actually do when it starts like ramming the boat and like causing the boat to sink. Like, it's just, I don't know. Jaws, I don't have to tell people that it's a good movie. It's a legendary movie. Again, made Steven Spielberg, put him on the map. He got to do almost whatever he wanted after that, and he did. So Jaws is my number one on my list. As of this week, as of this year, Jaws number one.
Fair enough. You know what? Jaws to me is such a good film. I agree with you. It is a horror movie for sure, but I got it as such a good movie. I wouldn't even put it with these movies. That's why it's not there for me. Yeah. Like, there's no way I'm putting fucking Leprechaun and Jaws in the same
Fair
list.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So, I mean, my number one reflects that. So my number one for me is something I try to watch every October is Monster Squad. Yeah. That's where my Monster Squad goes.
Classic.
Because it is, you know, I know it's on your list, but for me, it was just all my horror movies are tied to my childhood years, really. Like my honorable mentions are probably a little bit older films. Like I was older when I saw them.
Yeah.
For me, it was the kids ones. Because as a kid, I really believed that the Halloween horror genre just really messed with you more. And I think it created a bigger impact. I watch a movie now, it's a horror movie. Sometimes I mistake it for an action movie.
Yeah.
I don't even really, you know, it doesn't work the same way anymore. So, but no, I don't have a whole lot to say about it other than just, it was Goonies and Monsters and Halloween and a little more edgy. And that was about it. And it had all your monsters in it. And it was the kids eventually conquering the fucking monsters. Like, it was good.
The kids had a cool club. They had a clubhouse. I mean, it was, that movie was so, the fact that movie was written by an adult is crazy because it's so perfectly lined up with what kids would be into. Well, it fit us perfectly. You had a Frankenstein monster. You had a Wolfman. You had a Creature from the Black Lagoon. You had a Dracula. It was great. It was a classic movie. And, you know, you're right. I think there's two phases for us with horror movies when we grow up. There's the ones when you're a young kid that totally imprint on you because you don't know that these things exist. You don't know that there's movies that are this horrifying. You've never had that experience, and they stick with you. And then I think probably fitting in your honorable mentions, you then have the second wave of the horror movies that you were old enough to go see yourself in the theater. So like we had,
you're right.
We had like the Screams and we had like,
this is exactly where my honorable mentions go.
I Know What You Did Last Summer. And those kind of movies, those were our first shot of going to see them. They may not have scared us as much, but that's the other,
probably the generation behind us or the kids that are the front end millennial kids.
Yeah.
That would say Scream and those movies terrify the fuck out of them because they're the ones that they watch probably too young.
So did you said you had some honorable mentions?
Oh, yeah, I've got a few.
Yeah.
So where do I start? Well, Blade, I mentioned Blade was on my honorable mentions. Kind of said that, okay.
Sure, yep.
And Beetlejuice, I mentioned.
Oh, Beetlejuice, yep.
Yeah. Well, because for me, Beetlejuice, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Like, really? I was only going to go with one that was like more comedy driven.
Mm-hmm.
And just awesome acting. Like, Michael Keaton was fucking killer in that. And Catherine O'Hara, fantastic.
Yeah.
I guess Winona Ryder too, to a point, but I didn't really. She didn't steal the show for me. The other ones did. Little Pet Shop of Horrors.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
That was a fun movie. I found it fun more than anything. And then the fact it has so much music in it was weird that I still like it. Candyman.
That was the one. I remember Candyman was kind of like a. It was one that was talked around in school, I remember as a kid, because it was one kid in like a group of 10 would have seen that movie and would tell everybody else. It was kind of like our Bloody Mary the same story.
Yeah, and then you go stand in the mirror and think to yourself, and then you try it, and you get two times out, and you would not say Candyman again. Actually, this is kind of a weird one, I think, but I really do enjoy this movie. I find it's always on American Thanksgiving, which is weird. Why it's American Thanksgiving, I see this movie on TV all the time, but I don't see it on Halloween. Sleepy Hollow.
Definitely, yeah, fall time.
It's November. It it's not. November. It's always November. Mm. It's always, I'm like, how the fuck is this movie on November-ish? Mm. And I don't know why I like that movie. I can't tell you why. I think the Headless Horseman to me was never really an iconic character. Johnny Depp is so hit and miss for me. He's either like complete on or complete off. Christina Ricci, I actually tend to really enjoy. I don't know. I liked it. To me, it was very early Jack Sparrow coming out of Depp. It was starting to come on the verge of it then.
Yeah.
You could see it in his acting and with Tim Burton and all that. Special effects were pretty solid in it. The cinematography is really clean, decent action, good little chunk of horror, nice story, lots of little twists and turns, lots of like uncovered surprise kind of ideas in the storyline a bit. So I kind of liked it. It's just to me, it could really, really close to hitting the list because it's just something that I enjoy watching. And my last honorable mention is could just as easily be my number one.
I don't know. What is it?
Blair Witch. The original Blair Witch.
Yeah. See, and that goes with that second group I was talking about. Like you said, that was one that I remember going to see. And then I'd have to go out in the backyard and like...
So here's my rationale behind it.
Freak out.
They did the perfect thing about airing it in September. I remember coming out in the theaters in September. So the weather in Canada, for us particularly, was still nice enough that you could be outside in the woods. We grew up in the country. So you had that type of environment around you all the time. And it got dark so fucking early. So first of all, those things were all happening around you. Secondly, it was the first movie of its kind to do something like that, where they took the just a standard camera and all the chatter.
And it was totally advertised as this is legitimately found tape.
So fucking great. And it took like a year for kids to finally recognize that this shit was fake. Like, everyone would fight tooth and nail to the point where, this is fucking real. I read this. And back then, it wasn't on the internet, folks. Like, I mean, I heard this. I read this. So you're, like, trying to follow how you can on it. So the fact that you didn't have the internet made the myth of this thing last longer, right? The internet would have debunked it in a day, right?
Yeah, no, it was a perfect mix.
Beautiful
like
concept. And the only reason it goes from one to honorable mentions is because once you recognized that it was a movie that was done specifically to fuck with your head, you also resented the fucking thing because it screwed you up so bad. So you're like, it went from this really worked to I fucking hate you because this worked so good. And also you can't watch it a second time because...
You know the gimmick.
Yeah, it's done. The gimmick's done. It's all gone. And so that's where, to me, it doesn't have the staying power. Monster Squad I can watch every year, whereas Blair Witch is so effective, but I can't watch it again. Not because it scares me, because it's just got no value.
Yeah, so definitely Blair Witch. That's a good one for sure.
So, what'd you pull off for honorable mention?
So, basically, what I did is I kind of wrote down a list of all the ones, like a big group, and then I kind of whittled them out. So, these are the ones that some of them started out on the list and just kind of worked the way off. I'll go through pretty quick because I've got about 10 of those. So, I had Scream.
I can't believe I missed that.
Because that was a pretty iconic one. And again, kind of fits in that group where we could go to the theater and see it ourselves. It was kind of our horror movie at the time. Nightmare on Elm Street, which I talked about. Pumpkinhead.
Oh, yeah.
Which I rented Pumpkinhead when I was a teenager from like Jumbo Video. And I watched it by myself. And that movie scared the bejesus out of me. Life Force, which is like a space vampire movie.
Yep.
Which is a classic. Couple Canadian movies that are horror comedies, Wolf Cop and Another Wolf Cop. What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yeah. I that's so funny.
I know.
My kids love that movie, man.
It's
I can't believe I let my kids watch that movie, but then when I watch it, I'm like, there really is nothing.
No.
It's
trying to get my wife to watch it. But she won't do it. Do you know there's three television series based in that universe? They're just releasing What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show. That's going to follow a different group of vampires in New York.
That's funny.
Or sort of Manhattan, New York.
Yeah.
There's already a TV show in New Zealand that follows the two police officers around, and they like all there's like supernatural.
Oh my god, really?
And then there's one called Werewolves, and it's the werewolves.
That movie, that movie really, to me, because I only recently watched that movie this summer.
Yeah.
Still fresh, so it didn't make this list this way.
But the more I think about it, I mean, my kids will have that on their Halloween list.
Yeah.
Movies, yeah.
I think it'll definitely work its way up higher in my list over time for sure, because it's great.
So good.
Another Canadian movie, Black Christmas, which you could argue is the start of the slasher movies. Certainly was the first movies where you saw from the killer's point of view. Also kind of started the whole, the killer is calling from inside the house. It's directed by the guy that brought us A Christmas Story, which is bananas. And then finally I had Let Me In, which was the English translation of Let the Right One In, which was, I think, Swedish, which was an interesting vampire movie about
a
child who meets a child vampire and they become friends. And then she starts killing people for him to protect him. And there's all the story about her, what you think is her father, is kind of her familiar that looks after her and kills people and drains her blood for her. And it's really good, good story, and it's pretty freaky and scary as well. So that was my last of my honorable mentions.
Oh, you just made me think of a vampire movie that I forgot to mention that deserves it.
Oh.
And, man.
You can't even think of it. What is it?
Ethan Hawke.
Daybreakers.
Yes!
Yep.
The idea when they had one and ran out of people.
Yep. And they had to do like the synthetic blood and that all
neat
that stuff.
Idea.
That was good.
Liked that.
That's it. I mean, like, yeah, a horror much like comedy, but maybe more so because horror tends to be the kind of film that first time filmmakers or low budget filmmakers go to because they can. So you get a lot of garbage. But there certainly is a lot of stuff that, you know, it doesn't have to be like none of the torture porn stuff. I hate that. I hate anything that's too realistic. I'm not watching Hostel. I'm not watching any of that stuff.
Seven was the only one I can say would be, and I still put that more under thriller. Mystery.
Yeah.
Like cop
stuff. I don't want realistic horror. That's not what, like, that's not my bag. There are people that's what they love, that, you know, the more, you know, crazy, gruesome, the better.
Yeah, those people fucking scare me.
I'm more into like,
I want fun. I want fun. If I watch it more than once, I want to laugh at myself for going, I was scared of that, or like startled with that. I don't mind getting a little bit startled, but if you're gonna go there, let's go far. Let's go, and I think that's you and I are a sci-fi flair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's go somewhere that has a sense of disbelief.
But it's kind of like comic booky too. Like Freddy and Jason and the Leprechaun, they're kind of like comic book characters.
Yes, yeah.
They have abilities. You know, they keep coming back. They have new stories, and that's kind of like
we really are trapped in that world, are we not?
Yeah, it's true. But that's just, I mean, I shouldn't say it's just comic book. Yeah, I suppose a lot of stories are that kind of thing. But like for me, it's more, I have to enjoy it. I don't want to watch a horror movie and be like even Alien, like I said, is like borderline for me, because like that one sometimes is just too much. But again, on the scale of like what's available, like it's not Hostile. It's not centipede. Like, it's not weird stuff like that.
I never got into The Conjuring and The Omen and
all the supernatural
stuff.
They're
all like the same movie, yeah, though. But like, I mean, look,
I haven't watched a lot of the newer stuff. Same with like the Paranormal Activity ones, that kind of thing.
To me, I see a lot of the same film techniques, the same technology, the same premise, the same. Like, they really try to make it relatable to what you have today to scare the fuck out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that probably was the pretense, the thought process behind even some of the movies we nailed off there. But I just don't have the interest with them anymore. That's the problem. Like, I know some people like a good scary movie, but to me, it's just not. I'd rather put my time into a good drama or a good comedy, or for me, a good action movie, really. I don't get a lot of time to sit down and watch movies. So I'm usually stuck to Netflix series or TV series and stuff. That's where my time tends to go. So
I think, like, out of the more modern ones, really the only one I watched, and it's real borderline, like, I don't know that I'll go back and watch it again, would be like the first Saw, which there's like 9 sequels to that movie.
There is such a layer to a mystery to that.
The first
cool
movie, exactly, yeah, had that twist. It was, and then after that, I from what I could
but
see,
yeah,
it just
to,
went
back to being psychological,
hmm,
more than psychological with a twist of gore.
Yeah.
Right? And not the whole spiritual, supernatural deal. So that, I think there's a genre in there probably. If someone would probably correct us on that. There's genres in there. That's probably what we're just not, we don't share that affinity of that genre, right? So
Oh, speaking of just watching stuff in general, though, is there anything you're hooked on right now that you're watching? I know you had done Marvel's Iron Fist.
I finished season two of Iron Fist, which was markedly a lot better than the first season. Unfortunately, yesterday they announced that they are canceling the show, which is too bad because it actually improved. Although I have heard if you're worried about any of the other shows, they all have another season in the works right now. Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Daredevil's coming out right now. Punisher's got a second season coming out. Other than that, I've really just been doing my little movie marathon through October. I haven't really watched a lot of television.
Listen, I'm just going to say it right now. You got to watch Norseman.
Norseman? It's
Vikings? It's on Netflix. It's Vikings. It is a... how can you put it? I don't know what the fuck to call it. It is the Spaceballs to the Vikings TV series.
It's comedy?
Yeah.
Really?
And it is fucking hilarious.
I had no idea.
It is like... it's so matter-of-fact comedy shit that it's really funny. Very, very funny. They definitely don't even have a great English. They're all obviously either Norwegian or Danish or whatever.
Right.
And they do in English though. And so their English is very, there are pauses and there are just even the accent and the emphasis on words is pretty good, but not great. It's fucking two seasons of it on there. And it's really, really funny.
Adam loves Vikings. So
I do. And I'm not a big fan of like Vikings trying to be, like I just like Vikings the way they are, and so it being funny is not necessarily my cup of tea. I have been watched the entire first season today.
Okay,
sucked me right in.
I will have to look for that one. Norseman.
It's trending on Netflix as we speak.
And watch out! It may already be posted by the time you hear this. Adam was in a little bit of a competition today.
Oh Jesus! Yeah.
We won't get into too many details right now. Watch the social media, but it involved many a sausage roll.
Well, it'll be out before this list, won't it?
Yeah, probably. So you've probably seen it already. So
yes. Yeah, it is a sausage eating contest.
Congratulations!
You know what? That's kind of fun
for not fully winning, but kind of winning. Tied for first. I suppose it counts.
Yeah, but hey, there was legitimately like four or five other people at that fucking table that was beaten by me and the guy beside me.
It's true.
Yeah, so 100%.
So we've now learned Adam has a new skill and he will continue.
This is not a new skill to me. I have been capable to
say that.
Eat a lot of food.
Do you want people to...
I can eat a lot of food. I can eat a lot of food.
All right, well,
I'm
going to sign you up for some competitive eating because I think this is...
No.
There's money involved here, I think.
I know there is. And I've watched... Listen,
you gotta go for that hot dog title.
This week leading up to it, I looked at what competitive eaters do. I would die. 100% would die.
And my stomach would just break.
Well, that was the weird part, man. Even today, I didn't feel like I really did anything to my stomach. It just felt fine.
That's it. You've heard it here first. Adam is going to be a competitive eater on the circuit.
Sure. There we are.
All right. Well, if you have any comments or on this episode or want to say anything to us, we... accept all non-spam comments. You can leave comments on the website. You can hit us up on Instagram. We are Happy Zen Podcast. We are on Twitter, Happy Zen Podcast. Facebook, Happy Zen Podcast.
You can't escape us.
HappyZen.com is the website where we have everything all together. So look for that. Leave a review if you want. Leave a rating. Give us a subscription on iTunes or...
Super helpful, by the
Everywhere
way.
Everywhere you can get podcasts, subscribe so you don't miss, because you know already we are unreliable as to when we release these episodes.
We're getting back in the flow. We're getting back in.
Subscribe, and you will be notified the moment they come out. So.
Unreliable. Nice.
Until next time, I guess that's it for now.
Yeah, talk to you later.